The VCG podcast is sponsored by Forget-Me-Not Flowers and Gifts in Barrie, Vermont. Forget-Me-Not Flowers and Gifts is at a new location on Main Street, so check them out if you're looking for flowers or gifts for someone in your life. Well, Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking all about your upcoming RPG that you've got coming to Kickstarter. Let's talk a little bit about Jason Mills. You want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what you got coming up.
Sure. I'm Jason. I designed this game called Demigods. It uses the PBTA, the Powered by the Apocalypse framework. Coined by Vince and McGay Baker in Apocalypse World, but I actually got my start like 30 some years ago. But if you can imagine, my very first RPG ever was first edition Shadowrun. And
wow,
so
okay,
that's a fairly crunchy system if you're not familiar with it. And and us, young teens were very brave, I think, taking that on. So I had a very sort of like traditional gaming experience, but somehow missed D&D until college and just didn't have a chance to play it. So I've actually played more D&D recently than I did as a kid. But I really found my stride with the Powered by the Apocalypse, which kind of let Demigods do a bunch of stuff that I couldn't do in other systems.
Sure.
So it felt like kind of the perfect landing, because I've made a lot of little sort of homebrew systems and settings and things in all these years, but to actually do a fully finished product of a game was finally possible with the simple dice mechanic.
Nice. Yeah, I love PBTA games. They're just, it's really story driven, really easy to just kind of pick up and run with. So yeah, let's talk about Demigods. I'll let folks know that we have a mutual friend with Christopher Gray. Christopher Gray has been on the show quite a few times, and Christopher Gray he's just a great guy. And so when he's the one that actually referred you over to me and said, hey, I got this buddy Jason that's got this really cool PBTA game, and you might want to take a look at it. I took a look at it. It's really kind of neat. And I'm excited to hear more about it. And yeah, why don't you give us like the 2 or 3 minute sales pitch on Demigods?
Sure. So it's you're playing as the children of gods, which is rad.
Absolutely.
The idea of a demigod is the part mortal, part divine, person on Earth. The setting of the game is that the gods can't come to Earth because things start getting weird around them because they're too powerful. So they want to have demigods as their, kind of agents on Earth to help them out. And as we know, kids always do what their parents want them to do. So there's no conflict or tension.
Absolutely not. Yeah, no, yeah. My daughter is perfect and she always does whatever, that's my wife and I want to do.
Yep, that's been my experience at high school as well. So,
and I think that's what I really dig about this, because you've got your divine parent, and then you've got your mortal family. So it's almost like you're trying to appease two different factions, and it just sounds like a really great setting, and it's gonna really draw some really cool stories out, because who wouldn't want to try to appease both parents or both sides of your family? Or maybe you don't. Maybe you don't like your godparent you kind of relate more to your mortal family.
And actually, on that point, one of the design goals I had was I wanted people to be able to play a demigod who maybe didn't know who their parent was, or they didn't want to be like their parent. So for instance, if you want to play the playbooks are all these sort of archetypical names like the warrior, but if you want to play the warrior, you don't have to have Ares as your dad. You could have Amaterasu of the Shinto pantheon, who's not a fighter. She's the sun god who sees the future and does all this amazing stuff. So that could be your mom, but you are kind of on your way to being a warrior rather than, future telling, kind of, soothsayer. My goal was to be able to have a game that would allow those conflicts, but not break down in like sort of an uninteresting argument. So that was a big check mark for me.
Now let's talk a little bit about the game's mechanics. We're going to talk about you sent me over the beta script, or I don't know what you want to call it, the ash can rules that you've got, or the playtest rules, I guess is probably mm-hmm. the best way to say it. There's a mechanic called gifts. Mm-hmm. You want to explain gifts as far as how they work in the system?
Yeah, that's something that I haven't seen in a lot of PBTA games. It's because in like the other part of the playbook, and if you're familiar with Powered by the Apocalypse, each playbook has a bunch of moves that you can pick from, and that's what sort of makes your character unique and different from the other playbooks. But on top of that, you're also going to pick some gifts either there are a few on there that are common to all the playbooks, and then all the playbooks have some unique gifts that you can pick from. And I'm not always pronouncing that right. We are talking about gifts like presents and not animated images.
Nice. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Or however you like to pronounce it. But the gifts are things like, so some of the things that are the same for everybody is like an epic weapon or epic armor. That those are things that any god might bestow on a child of theirs, even if you're a poem singer muse playbook, and you're like, I don't need a sword, boss, but I guess I'm getting one. There are some things that are like that. There are also a number of the playbooks have a divine attribute on them. So like mm-hmm. divine might or divine charm, things like that, where it's not necessarily a sort of numbered mechanical benefit, but it is it's meant to drive the fiction. And then lastly, there's a category of sort of vaguely named gifts, which mm-hmm. are vague on purpose. There are gifts like the Trickster has the Puzzle Box, and the Reaper has Book of the Dead. And the question is always, well, what does the Book of the Dead do? And that is something that I hope the player and their herald, which is the MC and demigod, I'm hoping that's something they'll decide in their game, and it'll be different for everybody. I have some suggestions to put in the rule book of how to do that, but there are some things in there that are real clear, and if you don't want to have to make up something on the fly, you don't have to pick those gifts. But if you want to make something weird, I mean, that is kind of the goal of the game, is to make it weird. Absolutely. There are some options in there to leave it wide open. And also, it's totally reasonable to, like, I'm assuming plenty of tables will just make up gifts that aren't on the playbooks at all. I'm hoping that that comes out. When you pick your gifts, they're this sort of static thing that you have. You don't usually roll to do, they just do their thing. And for a long time, they were completely siloed. For probably the first year of the development, there were your gifts and there were your moves, and they were just two separate things. Mm-hmm. And then in a very natural way in the playtesting, people thought, well, I have this move that lets me attack somebody, but I also have an epic weapon, and it seems like it should be more effective. And so I had to agree. And a number of the moves, about half of the moves in each playbook, have the gifted tag, and it'll say, gifted. If you have the Book of the Dead, then this move also does XYZ. And you don't have to have that gift to use the move, but if you do, it kind of, it just turns it up a little bit, which is turned out to be a really fun addition to the game, if I can pat myself on the back.
Like, yeah, no, that's amazing. I like that aspect of that.
It really just, it added kind of a dynamic quality to why the gifts are in the game. Like, they're not just fiction tools. So there's, and also there's the whole, the magic-y move can be used to take your gift and kind of turn it up to 11, where whatever it's likely to do, you could try to just push it beyond those limits a little bit. So that they have a really fun place in the game that kind of just made it a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's pretty cool. I don't think I've ever heard of a PBTA game that has that kind of mechanic. So that's awesome. So you've got gifts, and then there's also, what do you call it? Threads.
Oh yeah.
Talk a little bit about Threads. I thought that was a really interesting part of your game as well.
Sure. So the Threads serve kind of a dual economy. So if you can save up five, you know, you get Threads for doing certain things in the game. Your playbook will reward you with a thread for doing certain things in line with your archetype. Like the warrior will get a thread for starting a fight, you know, okay. Things like that. But if you could save up five, then you could buy an advancement, like getting a bonus to your attribute or taking another move, very, you know, standard PBTA stuff. But you can also spend threads one at a time to get yourself out of trouble. So there's the sort of delayed gratification of getting an advancement, but there's also the immediate need for rerolling a die, or which we call gaining fate's favor. And so essentially in PBTA, you roll 2 6-siders, add them up, add your attribute. With fate's favor, you roll 3 dice and take the better 2. And a number of PBTA games started doing this about the same time. I don't know who did it first, but I like it. It's basically our version of advantage, disadvantage, you know, that works really smoothly. The threads can also be used to defray some like harm that's coming in. Right. We have a lot of PBTA games will do different things with harm. I have a fairly standard kind of harm track, which can include dying. And then that gets to kind of a fun part of the game, because every playbook also has a death move, which is the thing that you can do while you're dead, which is hopefully also why your friends are going to the afterlife to retrieve your spirit.
I love that. When I read that, I was like, yes, that is so awesome.
Yeah, I think death is a part of a lot of mythology and hero stories, and not the end of the story. It's often just sort of the next aspect that you're working on. And so that can be temporary or permanent, depending on the sort of character choices and how the what drives the fiction. But I like that there's an option there. So yeah, threads get a double duty, which sometimes people are feeling that stress of like, no, I need to save this up so I can get that other move because I really need it for the what I'm trying to do. Or, well, if I don't spend a thread right now, I'm gonna get knocked out. So it has provided some really fun tension so far.
Oh, I bet. So your playbooks have five attributes: prowess, metal, awe, judgment, and weird. You want to tell us a little bit about each attribute?
Yep. The prowess attribute is going to be your fight stat. So, you know, whether you're quick, fast ninja type or a big old barbarian type, if you want to deal harm, it's generally going to be prowess. A few playbooks have some things that are like, oh, if you do this, then you can use X instead of prowess. But there's always some sort of cost associated with that. So there are always options, but you don't have to play a fighty character in Demigods. So that's kind of a nice option as well. Metal is M-E-T-T-L-E, which is kind of your perform under pressure stat. There's actually the basic move perform under pressure, and it's sort of a catch-all skill role. So if you need to hack a computer or land the plane or do anything where the outcome should be called into question, you know, like it's going to be stressful if you don't succeed, then you're going to roll metal and, you know, kind of use the background of your character. Like if your character's never learned how to fly a plane, this is going to be an interesting role to land the plane. Judgment is kind of a big perception skill. It allows you to, you know, take in your surroundings, tell if someone's lying to you, that sort of thing. Okay. Awe is kind of how impressive your character is. And that can be, I encourage people not to conflate that with being beautiful, because you can be awful, right? Which is kind of where that term originally comes from, is you can be awe-inspiring and terrifying, which is kind of a fun combination sometimes. And then the last one is weird, spelled with a Y, W-Y-R-D. One reason I wanted to use that is we needed a magic stat. And so all demigods, from the arcane, which is, you know, witches and wizards and all that, to the warrior, which is generally less magic-y, everyone can try to use magic. And when you do that, that's your weird stat. But also the particular, I chose that name because weird, it kind of ties into a couple different cultures, Norse and couple other things, Celtic. The word implies dealing with the fates or your fate or that. And I think, you know, mythology stories, stories about gods and deities are often tied to fate. And I wanted to make that sort of mechanical element also part of the storytelling and the fiction so that you don't feel like your story is completely divorced from the way that the mechanics of the game play.
So how long have you been developing Demigods? Is this something that you've been working on for quite a few years? Is it just something that, you know, kind of just came to you in a dream that night? Or what inspired, I guess, and how long have you been working on it?
I wish this had come to me over a dream one night. The would have been great. Yeah. I've put about 2 years into this. Nice. Actually, almost exactly 2 years in June. Process was various things. It started out as, you know, hacking a couple different PBTA games because I only got into, you know, Apocalypse World style stuff recently, like within the last 5 or 6 years. And so experimenting, trying out if I could get different concepts to fit. And then within about 6 months of that 2 year process, I was writing playbooks and getting things to the table and following the creed of fail fast and iterate. So went through a lot of iterations, a lot of play testing at home, at conventions, a lot of really great feedback, a lot of, you know, feedback. So that's been actually a really fun process to do that. I hadn't really gone to conventions very much before starting this. So it's actually been a really kind of fun community building process for me that I've never really participated in before. So it's been an exciting, or just a really rewarding experience, which, you know, it seems like, oh, this is going to be a lot of hard work. And it is, but I've enjoyed what I've gotten out of it.
I love going to conventions and making those like personal connections with folks that, you know, you get to meet folks that are, that just love the same stuff that you love. And, you know, to, you know, have that kind of connection with folks is just, it's just awesome. I love that whole experience.
Oh yeah.
When I go to conventions, you have any particular convention experience that, like sticks in your mind that you right off the top of your head that you go, oh yeah, that was such a great moment.
I'll say a great and terrible, which is,
oh,
you know,
no.
good for talking about mythology. my very first time at Gen Con was last year.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I set everything up early and I made 6 sessions of Demigods in 3 days. And
wow.
So.
Okay.
And they like filled up right away, and so I didn't want to go and remove them. And I ran 8 hours of Demigods every day for 3 days, and that was incredible and fun and terrible, and I'll never do it again.
Yeah, one session a day is pretty much the most I can do at this point, because you know,
that was,
it just takes a lot out of you.
Like, that was a lesson learned.
Absolutely. But you got a lot of, I'm sure you probably got a lot of feedback from
it was incredible. Yeah. Because it was a bunch of people who I'd never gamed with before. It was, you know, it was 5 or 6 people at each table. So that's, you know, 25 to 35 people, something like that. I don't remember exactly how many it was, but, you know, another convention though, here I'm just outside LA, and the Strategicon convention happens in 3 different flavors, 3 times a year. And, that's actually been a really cool, I thought, oh man, this LA game convention is going to be enormous. And it's, you know, we get like 2,500, you know, close to 3,000 people going to that. So it's not, you know, Gen Con size, but it's actually small enough that like you start to meet everybody. I've been going for a few years now, and I know people, I recognize them, and you know, we chit chat about games that we played 2 years ago, and it's kind of that hometown convention in one of the biggest cities ever, and it's just kind of a weird juxtaposition.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we have a local convention as well, and it pulls in, you know, a little over 1,000 folks, which is good for, you know, the Northeast. But
oh yeah,
you get it's the same thing. You know, you get to see the same folks over and over. You know, there's new faces as well, but you know, it's like and a lot of us only see each other at that week, you know, during that weekend. Yep. So it's just a great time.
Yeah.
So how much of Demigods, how much, you know, if you were to put a percentage on how much you think it's completed at this point, how far along do you think you are on Demigods?
Oh yeah. The gameplay is done. It's okay. There's really nothing left to do on that. Little tweaks and edits, you know, layout, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But the mechanics of the game are done. It's really sitting right where I want it to be. And the rule book is just about done as well. For folks following along, following my Twitter so far, I've been really committed to not doing the Kickstarter until the manuscript is done, because it's a real bummer when you kickstart something and it just takes forever to come out, which there are plenty of legitimate reasons why that happens. I'm not bagging on anyone specifically, but I didn't want to have a huge gap of time between the Kickstarter and when we could actually produce the book. So we're doing a book that's probably, you know, about the size of Apocalypse World or Masks, you know.
It's
going to be right around that. And should be, you know, the Kickstarter we're doing is not so I can finish the book. It's so that we can get it edited and do the layout and, you know, send it to a printer, get even more art. We have some really cool art that's going to come out at the end of June, as the Kickstarter, goes. So,
yeah, yeah.
I've been kind of hoarding my art as a secret weapon.
Nice.
Not that I made. I have art from Amelia Vidal and Minerva Fox so far, and we're gonna expand a lot. So
very cool.
Yeah, we've got some really cool names working on stuff, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
I love. I think RPG artists are so undervalued in their, or they're so unrecognized a lot of the time in their art and their work on a lot of books, and so it's, I always like to try to acknowledge the artists on every single, you know, whenever I have a guest on that that's putting out an RPG,
yeah.
Because I think that's a big point for a lot of folks, is if the art pretty much sells a lot of the book a lot of the time. That's awesome.
There are definitely games I've picked up because of the art, and games that I play in spite of the art. Both of those categories exist.
Yep, absolutely. So is this your first Kickstarter?
This is my first Kickstarter. Oh, well, the first time I'm on this end of the Kickstarter.
I've
kickstarted a lot of projects, but
yeah.
This is my first Kickstarter project, but fortunately, I have our mutual friend Christopher Gray, who is a Kickstarter veteran, helping me do this process to make sure I don't mess something up or, you know, do something that's unfulfillable, which is just what would be a terrible feeling, because I want to put out something fun that everyone's going to like for a long time.
Yeah, I think they will. Just based on what I've been able to see, I think it's gonna be a huge success, and I'm excited to see it once it hits Kickstarter. Do you have a tentative, you know, time frame that you want to put this on Kickstarter?
Yeah, we're gonna try and kickstart at the end of June, and we're on track to do that. There's no reason why we won't. So we're gonna try and launch at the end of June, run it through all of July, and then we should be wrapped and ready to go get editors and, you know, do all that fun stuff, which, you know, that's going to be a blast.
So you'll have print copies, you'll have PDF copies, and then hopefully you'll have some other goodies that will get unlocked as the campaign goes on, I'm guessing. And
I know
we talked before we went live, and, you know, not everything's all hashed out just yet, but sounds like you've got a good grasp of what you want to offer on the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of the stretch goals we do, like, we're going to try and put out some of the art. You know, people have already been asking for posters. Also, I've got a couple of, you know, Easter egg playbooks that I think people will like.
Nice, okay.
Kind of some fun, goofy stuff that didn't really fit in the core of the game, but I think would be fun. You know, if I have time to produce it, I definitely want to. So, those are definitely on the table, and, you know, some other secret stuff that I can't talk about yet.
Nice. Yes. So we'll have to have you back on. Actually, we we're planning on having you back on, hopefully at the end of July, to do an actual play of Demigods. I'll get some of the crew together, and we'll do a session. I think the 31st of July is when I've got you penciled in.
I'm looking forward to it.
We'll have a good time playing that on the show, and hopefully by then you'll have reached your goal, and you're just smashing every single stretch goal that you announce along the way as well. If folks want to know more about Jason Mills, where should they go online, my friend?
The main outlet is my Twitter, which is @itsprobablyokay, just the letters okay. The playtest documents that you can get are at demigodspbta.com. So those are the two main areas you can get to me. I try to be fairly responsive on those, and I'm definitely going to be very responsive over the course of end of June and July.
Absolutely. No, I'm excited. I always love it when folks, I love seeing folks take that leap from Kickstarter backer to Kickstarter creator, because I think that's just an exciting thing. And maybe one of these days, maybe I'll make that jump. But it's just I love Kickstarter as a platform, as a crowdfunder, especially for RPGs, because you know this is a great way. It's such a great way to get games out to folks and build your community before you actually publish your game, and I think RPGs especially are perfect for Kickstarter, because you know it's just that's what you want.
Yeah, you know, anytime you're gonna have like a small print press, like I'm not gonna print half a million books. That's crazy.
Well, you don't know.
Well, okay, that's true. I shouldn't cap myself. But it does. It really like gives, you know, small creators, independent press, a chance to you know, make something that you don't have to go to a giant publisher or, you know, really jump through hoops or give up your creative control and all that stuff. So it really has created a lot of options.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited. We'll be keeping an eye on it and on Kickstarter. And as soon as you launch, you let me know, and I'll be sure to share it out as much as we can. And we'll have you back on the show on July 31st for an actual play. And if you're watching this, then... and that actual play has already happened. I'll put a little notation here on the screen, and you can click on that as well. Jason, thank you so much for giving me part of your night to come on. We'll have to have you back on again, you know, maybe for your next game. I know it's already early. You know, you haven't even got this one out yet, but I can already tell that you're the type of guy that wants more than just Demigods in your game design.
Definitely count on it. I've got it's all my self-will to not work on those right now, because gotta do the one thing. But thanks for having me on. This is a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us for tonight. I want to thank Jason for coming on. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and watching. If you like this video, please give it a like down below. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, please consider subscribing. We'd love to have you part of our VCG community. And you'll get notified every single time we have content that posts to the show, or anytime we do an actual play. This has been Victory Condition Gaming, because winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time. Bye now.